Welcome to the latest episode of Live from Danville Drive. I'm Sarah Hunneke, a member of the administrative team here at Green Acres and also the co-parent of a newly enrolled pre-K student for fall of next year. For about 50 years, Green Acres community members have gathered monarch eggs and caterpillars, watched them emerge from their chrysalides as butterflies, and released them into the wild for migration. Our very own campus is at the heart of these butterflies' journeys. Green Acres is a monarch way station, providing resources these butterflies need to produce successive generations and to sustain their migration. Joining us today to talk about the Monarch Butterfly Program here at Green Acres, its origins, its influences, its past, present, and future, through a very special multi-generational exchange of learning are Ellen Prentice Campbell, Nan Shapiro, and Addie. For today's interlocutors, Green Acres roots run deep, and so does their shared passion for monarch butterflies. Let's get started with some brief introductions. Ellen, can you start us off? Please share with us your connection to Green Acres School and how long you've been part of the community.
I first became part of the community at Green Acres when I was 4 years old and started in Joan Lynch's nursery school class. My mother, Nell Campbell, and my younger brother, Don, joined the school in 1960 when Donald began nursery school and Mom began teaching at Green Acres. I actually did not attend kindergarten, first grade, or second at Green Acres, but I came back to Green Acres with my best friend and next door neighbor, Kim Goodrich, in third grade when the Montgomery County schools were so crowded with us baby boomers, they went on split session. And I stayed at Green Acres until I graduated from the sixth grade in 1965. There was no seventh or eighth grade at that point in time. Mom and Don remained, and Mom remained teaching at Green Acres till 1985. So I can't think of a time that Green Acres hasn't been part of our family's life and community.
Shall I go next? All right, I'm Nan Shapiro, and I came to Green Acres in 1977 as a third and fourth grade teacher. And I taught at Green Acres for 40 years in many capacities. I've taught every grade level and many subjects. My last 10 years at Green Acres, I was the music teacher, which was really the best of all. I have three sons, and two of them attended Green Acres all the way through from nursery school to eighth grade. So I have a long, long association with Green Acres. And I learned everything that I could from Ellen's mother, Nell, who was the person that taught me all about monarchs to begin with. Addie, can you introduce yourself?
Hi, so my name is Addie, and my family has been going to Green Acres. It was my mom and my two uncles, and I have been going to Green Acres since pre-K, and currently I'm in sixth grade.
So Ellen, I wonder, could you start off by talking about Nell a little bit and the beginnings, well,
the beginnings of the Monarch Project, yeah. And I know, Nan, that you know it so much more deeply and over longer time. But, you know, I double-checked with Jewel Stoddard yesterday, because Jewel, of course, taught science, if I'm remembering rightly, at Green Acres in the early 70s. And I know it was from Jewel Stoddard that my mom, Nell Campbell, learned about the monarchs. And Jewel confirmed that. She said that she believe she brought the first monarch projects to the school in the early 70s. And then when she left Green Acres, which was probably just about the time you were arriving, Nan, she by that time had really taught Nell all about the gathering and the care and the feeding and the releasing of monarchs. So that the project began, as I understand it, really sort of under Jewel's guidance. And then Mom was her successor. And then, of course, there have been generations of teachers and students since that time. You know, I was no longer living at home at that point, but I can remember whenever I was visiting at home, or when my family and my three kids, all of whom went to Green Acres Camp, were in the area, we would always be involved in gathering milkweed, because I don't think the gardens right on the campus were so extensive then. So we would gather milkweed up in Pennsylvania and bring it home. We would gather it all over Montgomery County and bring it back to our kitchen counter, which was covered with aquariums and chrysalises and fraz. And it was really exciting to see the way the program had developed even then, to have the big, beautiful flight cage in the primary unit. And I remember that being really something that we loved and participated in our own sort of home-based Monarch curriculum.
So to take us back just a little, just to explain what this project is, what we do is that in the fall, when the monarchs are migrating from the northern part of the East Coast all the way down to Mexico, they come through our area, and that's when we look for eggs and caterpillars, gather them, bring them inside so that we can watch this amazing metamorphosis that happens with monarchs, that happens very quickly. So they start as tiny little eggs. They grow into 2-inch long caterpillars, inch and a half. They change to chrysalides, to chrysalis, and we can watch that transformation. And then after about 2 weeks, they come out as butterflies and we release them. So that has been the main project. So, and I remember trampling through farmyards with Nell looking for eggs and looking for caterpillars, which was how we did it at that time.
Oh, absolutely. And Jewel Stoddard stayed involved because the Cheshire Cat had monarchs.
Right.
No question.
Right. So Addie, can you talk about what you've done with monarchs?
So since my mom used to work at this school, I would always be here early, and I got really involved in the Monarch program. And so in the mornings, I would help clean the cages and, well, not cages, but where we kept them. And I would help, I would just kind of help around and learn more things about them.
And Addie got so good at this that she was able to handle the monarchs very delicately. She helped with the tagging. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And you know, I didn't ever see the tagging, because that, you know, it's wonderful now that the school and all of you have gotten involved in the data collection. That's so thrilling.
Well, what has happened is, first of all, we really gardened, and we started a project of planting milkweed and planting plants, flowering plants for the butterflies to attract them. So we now have on campus enough milkweed that the monarchs lay their eggs and have their, and the caterpillars are right there on campus. So kids can find them on their own. We don't have to bring them from far. So Addie, do you remember finding caterpillars?
Yeah, it would always be very exciting whenever somebody found one, and everybody would be like, where's Nan? And you would bring like the leaf of where they're on, or sometimes you could just pick them up gently, and then we would bring them in, and then people could watch them grow. And yeah,
we would put them in the terrarium. So the other thing that we've done much more recently is to join a scientific project, which is a citizen science project through the University of Kansas called Monarch Watch. And what we do is that as our butterflies emerge and are ready to fly, we tag them. We put a tiny little tag on the butterfly's wing that identifies it. And the people in Kansas are connected with they're connected with people up and down the coast who are doing this tagging, but most specifically in Mexico, which is where the monarchs winter over. People in Mexico look for these butterflies with the tags and send that information on, so that we have a good record of how many of them get there and when they get there and how they've traveled and where they've come from.
That's so thrilling. And, you know, my daughter, Martha Nell, and I went to Mexico because she was living in Mexico to the Monarch Preserve. And I love the thought that we might have seen some of the Green Acres monarchs.
Well, we actually have had at least two of our monarchs recorded.
Oh, that's great.
Having been found in Mexico. Do you remember that, Addie, when we found out that one of them had made it for the first time?
Yeah, we were so excited. And it's like, there are so many that go there. I'm guessing that there are a few others that probably went there and just weren't recorded.
And I have to give a shout out to the first and second grade teachers who do such a beautiful job of talking about monarchs and teaching about monarchs and helping kids to find information. The kids make beautiful round charts with all of the stages. Can you talk about that, Addie? Because I remember yours had so many different stages on it.
Yeah, I am really into it, and everybody was like always excited, and it was one of those topics where it's like you miss it when you're older, you're excited for it when you're younger, and people know about it. And it was like we would do projects on them, and people were always super excited when it was in your classroom and they came out of the chrysalis. Yeah. And that was like one of those where everybody crowded around and there was like yelling and like a lot of fun, which is similar to when people come around for when we release the butterflies and everybody, and you put them on the one person's finger and everybody wanted to do it.
It is so exciting, that moment when they hatch. And I always thought it was great that the whole cycle was coming to this moment when you all would be just starting the school year. And it just seemed like such a wonderful project to be starting the school year with, seeing this happen.
And I think that fits into what the school is really about. The reason that Nell was such an important mentor for me is that she was such a hands-on experiential teacher. So if we sang the song Chicken Soup with Rice, we ate chicken soup with rice.
Right.
She raised chickens and geese.
And I think you're right that that's so much what the school is about, the experience of learning. And back in the early days when I was a little child here and there were no suburban houses around the school, our science teacher, Arsena, would take us out in the woods. And I feel like you, Nan, and Addie, and now everyone has continued that.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Like, not exactly related to the monarchs, but just in the school, like just having the amazing playgrounds and then the woods. Everybody's so excited. Like, it's a really nice day. We all asked my science teacher, Diane, is like, can we go to the creek? Can we go into the woods? And that's like a big part of like, it's just very natural, but it's not like, it's just a good way of learning.
I think that's really true. And I remember when I was a kid and we'd have all these projects at home, and when I was a student at Green Acres with tadpoles, because there weren't butterflies yet, you know, but there certainly were chicks hatching, that also I thought it was really part of Green Acres that sometimes, unfortunately, we learned that not every caterpillar makes it, not every chick makes it. And that's hard and it's sad, but it's a wonderful way to begin to learn that too.
It's very interactive and people can become very passionate about things.
Yeah, and I think that having that feeling about monarchs when you're young, having that feeling of protectiveness carries into a larger feeling of responsibility, an ecological responsibility. We've had chrysalises hanging on the pylons in front of the school, and I've never felt worried that a child would knock one off or touch it or bother it, because they all have this feeling from when they've raised those little insects of how delicate they are and how much they care about them making it all the way through the metamorphosis.
Yeah, it's one of those times when you realize really the power of how we learn at Green Acres, and it's like people really begin to care and become passionate about a lot of things, and really about the monarchs. It's like one of those, it's like when they're not too young to like understand it, but not too old to be like, oh, I'm too cool for it. And you always remember it as something really important, which it is.
Yeah, and older kids bring caterpillars into the first and second grade and come to see the terrariums. It's lovely how that carries through.
And you know, I'm thinking that for me too, whenever I see a monarch butterfly go by, whether I'm here in Washington or I'm up at the farm in Pennsylvania where Nan and Mom and Jewel would go looking, whenever I see a monarch go by, I always kind of feel like it's a message from Mom, from Nell. And actually, when I was in Mexico with my daughter, Martha Nell, I learned that there's a tradition in Mexico, which probably you teach at Green Acres, that believes that indeed the Mexicans believe, as I do, that the butterflies are messengers for us from beloved spirits.
And they arrive in Mexico right around the Day of the Dead, which is the day after mm-hmm. Halloween here. So it's a part of celebrating the changing of the seasons and the return of something important.
And the circle of life.
Right.
And Green Acres is all about that, isn't it?
Yeah, and of course, all of us marvel at this whole process because the butterflies that are migrating are of third or fourth generation from the butterflies that came north. And nobody really knows how that happens. It must be a part of their genetic makeup to have that ability to navigate, but it's still miraculous.
The idea that people or the butterflies will know where to go, even though they've never been there before, and that over generations, they somehow remember and are able to come back to the same place or in that area. And I think it is just really amazing.
Oh, Addie, it is. And you know, it makes me think, I think you and Nan, you know, the project is so far advanced now from the days I knew it. But I was remembering a funny story where I don't remember the details exactly, but there was a monarch, I think, that hatched late. You know, it hatched really late. And Nell was concerned that it was too late, you know, that it would get cold, it wouldn't make it to Mexico. And there was a child in the class whose father was an airline pilot. And he took the monarch to California. But then I know after the monarch had already gone on its journey with the pilot, I remember Nell becoming very concerned that this might be confusing for the monarch, which I think it probably was. You know, I mean, I think from what you now know, because you have studied all the continuing science, I think that probably was not a help to the monarch. But again, what a wonderful thing that the program has advanced and is so science-based.
And we're finding out more and more. They do a lot of research at Cornell on monarch butterflies as well. So we keep on learning.
Yeah, each year everybody participates and it's still the excitement, still the learning process, and new things come out and everybody is eager to learn about them.
I love those days. We wait for a beautiful sunny time of the day and we all go outside and release butterflies, and there's nothing like it.
If you're by the castle and then there's like a huge crowd and then everybody starts coming over, like Nan's releasing the butterflies and people like will run into the woods, get other people, and everybody's crowding around like, can I release one? And everybody's like just get super excited, but then they also like get calm when the butterfly is released. which I find really incredible.
So we've talked a lot about how the program has really evolved from kind of an idea into, as you've mentioned, a scientific study. So my question that I'd love to leave you with is, what next? What are your hopes for the program in the future? What other students and community members might be able to access or remember in ways that are lasting and impactful as they have been for you?
Well, I can say that I'm just thrilled that this spring, the school is reworking a lot of the gardens on campus to include native plants. And I keep hoping that people will plant more milkweed, because one of the reasons that butterflies are endangered is because of the use of herbicides to grow crops. Milkweed is a meadow plant, and those meadow areas are fewer, and milkweed is fewer. So we're certainly doing that on campus, but I think every year I have families who come and dig up a little bit of milkweed to put in their gardens, which is wonderful.
Yeah, like in the future, I just hope that people will continue to like have the same values and have them grow into something bigger, perhaps. And this just kind of popped up into my head, and I'm not sure this could ever actually work, but I think it would be fun going up to a place where we know there are butterflies, but it's not specifically grown there, and like to hunt for caterpillars. And I think that would just be a cool field trip. And maybe it would be for the older kids, maybe for the younger, but that just kind of popped into my head.
And maybe some kids like Addy might go into a science field or become an entomologist because of these kinds of experiences when they're young.
I really agree with you, and that sort of fits with what I was thinking. You know, my daughter became a journalist and lived and wrote in Mexico, and became very interested in monarchs through Nell. And so she studied the Mexican butterfly reserves. And I'm sure she's one example of many people who've been touched by this Green Acres Butterfly Project in a way that little by little, it does change the world.
It's incredible how these little insects can impact people so much.
That's so true.
So any final words before we sign off?
Well, I want to thank Ellen as kind of a keeper of the history. And I want to thank Addy as a person who's bringing it forward.